Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, this is Nerd Nuptial episode 18. I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
We are here to welcome you to this podcast because I am excited about this because today's topic is, I think, something that everyone can relate to. It's a shameful topic. We don't really want to admit it. But what we're talking about today is guilty pleasures.
That's right.
Now, how would you define a guilty pleasure?
I think I define a guilty pleasure movie is something that you're kind of embarrassed to admit that you actually like. Like, it's not popular, yeah. And it's not popular, you know, with the nerd community or the general population. It's probably just like a bad movie, but you really enjoy it.
I think it's one of those things where if you're in a group of friends and they're all talking movies and TV and everything like that, and then they all start dissing on a movie that you particularly love, you would not speak up because you realize that you have
exactly.
No leg to stand on. That's how I define a guilty pleasure movie. So we're going to go down a list of what are guilty pleasure movies. But before we do that,
we have a 5-star review.
We have a new 5-star review that we would like to mention that we just got. And, you know, everyone, thank you so much. I feel like every week, if not every other week, we get to say that we have a new review. And
pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. And it's all thanks to you guys because you're listening, you're subscribing, you're telling your friends that you listen to our show, and we just, the fans are awesome. And, oh, speaking of which, an individual who's a listener of ours, she goes by the name of Slow-Mo Margo, and she made us a pin, a button.
Like, yeah.
She made us a Nerd Nuptial button.
It's awesome.
And gave it to me. And I was over the moon. I was just like, I was floored that someone took the time to print out our logo and make it into a button and then give it to me.
And you always keep buttons on your satchel. What do you,
my Jack Bauer emergency
that's
satchel.
That's right. Your work bag. So that is pretty awesome. So
yeah,
thank you.
It is amongst my Star Trek and Batman pins.
That's right.
Now it's the biggest one on there.
Yeah.
So we
and it should be.
As it should be. Yeah. I kind of want to mass produce these buttons now. So maybe we can give her a little money on the side and she can start sending them out.
That's right.
So yes, we want to thank you, Slow-Mo Margo. And we also want to thank the person who wrote us a 5-star review. And that person is Duty B, and they wrote that we entertain them throughout the workday, and that they were looking for a podcast that they could listen to more than just the first two episodes. That's a huge compliment.
I was going to say, thank you. We're glad that we could entertain you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Repeat listeners.
No kidding.
And so we thank you so much for taking the time and actually writing a review. And we ask you guys, if you're listening to our show and you like it, and you like this entertainment that we bring every single week, please take the time, go to iTunes, search Nerd Nuptial, and write us a review. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the podcast, just like Duty B.
There's also a podcast that mentioned that we were in their top 3 podcasts
That's
they would listen
right.
to for the end of time, which is awesome. And a little bit of a pressure point, because, I mean, we got to do this forever then, I guess, if people want to listen to us forever.
How cool was
it
that?
It was so nice. We were just like beaming. We were
oh,
it was so cool.
We have the best fans. Darren
yeah.
Moser, he's a host, a co-host of Trek FM's Earl Grey. He, from day one, he's been a huge supporter of the show, of the Nerd Party Network and Nerd Nuptial. He also likes my Voyager show that I host with Charlene Schmidt. And to have 2 of his top 3 shows that he would listen to for the rest of his life is very humbling. And what he said about us, about how we interact and how we
yeah.
truly love each other.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got a little misty, Darren. It started tugging at the heartstrings.
It was really nice.
That's why we started this show, is because we want to show people. I know this sounds
It sounds cheesy.
It cheesy, but we love each other so much and we love geek stuff so much. We want to show everybody how much we love geek stuff and how much we love each other and how great it is to have those at the same time.
Right. And like we said before, it's just like turning on a mic with our conversations that we have daily.
Yeah.
Because this is the type of stuff that we talk about all the time. It's not like just for the, just for the microphone.
We could easily make this into a daily show if we had the time. Because
yeah, I don't have the time for that. Sorry.
That's why I said if we had the time. Just because, these conversations, there are certain times when... Yeah, like you've said to me, you'll be talking to me and you'll forget what you said after the fact because you forget that the mic is on.
Yeah.
And because this is just us talking. And so that is registered with you guys. And I know we've been going on and on about about our great fans, but we just can't thank you enough.
It's very awesome. It's a cool feeling.
Yeah. The reviews, the merchandise that you guys have made and talking about us on other podcasts. It is not going unnoticed, and we thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have, before we get into our topic, there's two news things.
Kind of
news that I want to talk about. And so, as we all guessed, Ben Affleck is going to direct a solo Batman film. Now, we have no idea when that's going to come out because there's so many films on the docket and in pre-production and production and in even post-production now with Wonder Woman. And Suicide Squad is coming out soon. And so it's going to be years from now until we get another Batman solo film. But a lot of people conjectured that the only reason why Ben Affleck would agree to be in Dawn of Justice is if he actually got to direct his own Batman film. And the more I thought about it, the more I got excited. And there's been this headline that's been circulating about the movie. And the movie hasn't even been written yet. And somebody interviewed Ben Affleck and said, so what's the movie going to be like? What's the movie going to be about? And all he said was, it was just like an off-the-hand comment. He said something to the effect of, well, I mean, it's going to be an original story, but we're going to draw a lot of elements from the comics. And that headline has been posted on every single nerd news site and Twitter account and Facebook account. And
that's like the most vague thing you could say about a Batman film.
That describes literally every single comic book film that has ever been made. Not only just Batman film,
right,
but comic book film. He said it's going to be an original story, but based on elements from the comics. No crap.
That's so dumb.
And that's the thing is, like, I'm not making fun of Ben Affleck.
No, but I mean, he's not showing his cards. There's nothing probably to show yet.
No.
So.
And it's just so utterly confusing. And so people are treating this like
news. It's not news.
And yet here I am talking about it.
That's true.
And I guess mainly the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I'm just so sick of it's, you know, okay, so people, when cable news was introduced, we got the 24-hour news cycle. And people were scared that was going to, producers were just going to try to fill content because they're like, how can you have 24 hours worth of news? You know, because we were used to an hour of national news at nighttime and an hour of local news. And that's it. And that's all we needed. And then the 24-hour news cycle came around. And that's why we have all this fluff and people talking about, you know, like all these minuscule things that isn't news because they need to fill the time. With the introduction of internet news and then tweets and then Facebook messages and everything like that,
it's more extreme than ever.
It's more extreme than ever, especially in the nerd community. I mean, just recently Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, they have reshoots scheduled, and they always had these reshoots scheduled. And then when word got out that they were going into their reshoots, somebody started a rumor saying that the Lucasfilm and Disney execs hated what they saw and made them reshoot 40% of the film. This is all because people do not know how film actually works, how filmmaking actually, every single movie does reshoots.
Right, right.
And I'm just seeing this headline, just like the Batman one, tweeted and retweeted and plastered over every single website where it's just like, I literally saw, Disney execs aren't happy with Rogue One. All because, quote unquote, sources say.
Oh. Yeah, see, I don't know. I feel like some of it is just trying to get attention. you know, for no reason. Well, I mean, I just said, like, maybe just to either look for trouble or maybe get the movie attention because it was been out of, like, you know, our trailer came out a few weeks ago. I don't know.
Well, that would be, you know, that would be seeking for positive things.
That's true.
That's like when the WB reported that the execs gave Dawn of Justice a standing ovation. Well, you know, thank you very much for letting us know that
you
liked your own movie. You know, that's kind of like the tobacco company saying that, you know, smoking is okay for you. You know, like, of course that's what they're going to say. But yeah, it's just to get clicks. It is just to get clicks.
Yeah.
And it's just so utterly confusing. But since we're on the topic of a solo Batman film, it's no shocker that you and I love Batman. I mean, we talk about it all the time. But I really want to know what you would like to see from a Ben Affleck solo Batman film.
Well, I think you know that I'm not really 100% sold on Ben Affleck in general. So, wait, okay, so I have a question.
Okay.
And this might be a dumb question, but would he be Batman or would he be directing a new Batman?
No, he would, yeah, he would,
he would be Batman.
Yes,
he would
direct. That's not a dumb question.
Okay.
No, yeah, no.
All right,
I wasn't sure. He is the new Batman and he will be for some time now. Because he was the Batman in Dawn of Justice. He will be the Batman in Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And his next appearance will be in the Justice League movie.
Gotcha.
And then a solo feature down the line. So,
got it.
But he is going to direct himself and act in it like he did with Argo. You know, like how Mel Gibson with Braveheart, you know?
Sure. You know. Okay, I wasn't sure. Well, I think I would like to have more of a detective type Batman film. I think that it would be fun to see some cameos of some of the villains from Suicide Squad, if Suicide Squad is good. That caveat. I think more of the detective angle would be more of what I would want to see in a solo Batman film.
I think a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people want that, you know, they call him the world's greatest detective, and there's a lot of people feel like we haven't really gotten that in the movies too terribly much.
Mm-hmm.
I like to disagree with that. I feel like people don't give Nolan's Batman enough credit when it comes to detective work, especially with The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I think all I'm thinking about is when he deconstructed the bullet and then found the thumbprint and then went over.
Yeah,
it, you know?
I think that they tried harder in that one to show a little bit more of that side.
But that's still only a little bit of the movie.
Of what you would see in the comics of the detective style of Batman.
I'd love to see a mystery film with Batman as the detective where we don't know what's going on. I mean, in most of the Batman films, I mean, they reveal who the bad guy is right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just like, oh, it's, you know, it's what antics is he up to now
right.
or is she up to now? And I think, yeah, I am right on board with you. Like,
I just don't know if it'll happen, though, because I feel like our society, our culture is too into the, I don't know, the Michael Bay-ism of superhero films. So
the big explosions.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hulking
out.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if that'll happen, but it would be pretty cool if it did.
I think by the time the solo film actually comes out, I feel like we will be distanced from Snyder.
I was just going to say that.
Enough.
We've had like enough of that style, and then we're ready for something different.
I think so, because if you look at Suicide Squad, is going to be a very different movie, I think. And I think Justice League is going to look like Dawn of Justice. But I think Wonder Woman will also look very different. And I hope DC will embrace what Lucasfilm is doing by bringing in new directors and different aesthetics. And because if you look at Rogue One, that looks like a very different movie than what we normally see in Star Wars. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
And so I really think it would be great if Ben Affleck could bring his own, like, town aesthetic or his kind of look.
I kind of feel like, especially in the last Batman versus Superman movie, I felt like we kind of missed that feeling of Arkham or Gotham, whichever one they want to set, you know, wherever the setting is for the next Batman film. I would kind of like to see more of the city become more of a character, because I didn't really feel that as much in the Snyderverse.
Yes, very much. Yeah, you know, I've never really thought about that, but that's sad that I didn't think about
that. Because I even felt that more in The Dark Knight, and I feel like it was more of the case in, like, the earlier Batman films, where you actually, like, felt those places and they had, like, a heart of their own. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like we've kind of lost that a little bit. It's just like a city.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we've kind of lost that character, like how Gotham is its own character. Now, I do like The Dark Knight Gotham. I like Batman Begins Gotham, and I like Dark Knight Gotham, but I'm very biased because it's Chicago.
It's true.
But John Mills actually described it as he thought Chicago was a great setting for Gotham because it's a beautiful city with tons of corruption underneath.
Right.
And I was like, hey, there you go. There's Gotham. Yeah. But the Burton Gotham, especially in 1989.
Yeah.
That Gotham was...
It's very theatrical.
Yes.
I mean, it's very over the top. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe more of the video game version, you know,
the Arkham trilogy.
I feel like that kind of, you definitely feel the city more when you watch, well, when I watch you play those video games, because we established I can't play video games very well. But I feel like that needs to kind of be brought back a little bit.
I think so too. I think we watched there's this really cool video essay. It's only about like 6 minutes long about the history of Gotham in TV and film and comic books and everything like that, and how it's its own character and how every single Gotham has its own aesthetic and quality to it. And I think when I close my eyes, I see the Arkham Gotham, the Arkham trilogy Gotham.
I think I do too.
But a part of me also thinks back to the cartoon, the animated series.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like those.
But don't you kind of feel like they feel the same?
They do.
Right? Yes. Don't they? And I mean, even if you think about Batman versus Superman, when we were in Metropolis and we were in, like, when we got into Metropolis and, you know, like, he's coming from Gotham, I don't know, it didn't really make very much of an impact because you didn't really feel the difference.
No. Yeah.
Right?
You were absolutely right. And I didn't think about that until just now when you said it, is that Gotham had no character in Batman versus Superman. We didn't explore the spirit of Gotham now.
And even Metropolis, I mean, you had, like, the monument. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what else did it really have?
And they're across the bay from each other, like San Francisco and Oakland. And
right.
It's just, there's certain, it's so weird because certain times in the comics they're like that. And then other times you have to take a plane ride to get from one to the other. So, you know.
I think I like the more separated, personally.
I do too. I mean, I didn't want to get nitpicky, but yeah.
Hey, why not?
I want them separated. I don't want it. Like, it was weird. I remember, like, I didn't realize that they were right next to each other till the end of the film. And then we see Superman in Metropolis. He looks across the bay and sees Gotham. I'm like, oh, holy crap, they're right next to me.
Right. I'm like, really?
That's strange.
And this is like the first time there's been a confrontation?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting. But I think that's a great want. I think that's a realistic want from the next Batman film, is to have Gotham be a character again. Because because we didn't explore anything from the Snyder movie of Dawn of Justice, I feel like you could kind of do whatever you wanted, right?
I think so too.
In the next one.
I really do. And I think with the opportunity of bringing out some of these characters that aren't really well known from the Batman universe in Suicide Squad, I think you have like endless possibilities to then kind of work more on Gotham and work on, you know, like, I mean, I think it would be cool to have it set in Arkham City or, you know, like something like that. I think that would be just a really cool movie.
Oh, please don't mention that, because I'm sad because I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I wish there was rumors that they were going to make a live action Arkham Asylum movie.
That would be so awesome.
That was based off of the video game. And that's not going to happen now. But if one day it did, if we got Arkham City or anything of the Arkhams, if you haven't played the Arkham games, do it, because it is some of the best Batman storytelling out there.
I love the aesthetic. Like, yes. I just feel, you can feel the place. It's just so unique. Mm-hmm. And yet I think that you can see city, like a piece of a city anywhere in that, I don't know, in that world. And yet it's just like, you know why Batman's there, because there's so much crime, there's so much corruption. It just, it's seedy. It's, I love it.
And it blends the fantastical villain yes. element with the gritty realism of a city very, very well.
Which we love.
Which we absolutely love. And I'm hoping that that's what we'll get with Suicide Squad.
Me too. Me too.
Because...
The Pop Funkos have already come out. The
Pop Funkos, that's right. We should just go pick up all of the Harley Quinns. They made like four or five different Harley Quinns.
I'm so excited. But we have to go to different places to get them. I looked it up. I
hate that. And that make like the one
I really want her as
Dr. Quinzel.
Yes, and it's at Walmart and
we do not like going to Walmart.
Our Walmart's not very nice. But
that's because it's a Walmart. That is why it's not very nice. Bad things happen at Walmart. Every single time we've gone to Walmart, something bad has happened.
You're making it sound so like...
I don't even care. I don't even care if that makes me sound snooty, okay? Like, there are things that I can't mention on this podcast that have happened at Walmart.
I know. Oh, I know. There are some... yeah. Like, we shall not speak of things.
We're not going to talk about it.
No, because this is bad.
It's just bad. But yeah, of course, the one that we really, really want is... At Walmart. So,
yeah, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to want all of them.
And then, yeah, but they're putting a lot of emphasis behind Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Like, just recently, too. Like reports came out that everybody's loving Harley Quinn in the movie. There's rumors of a spinoff film. All of these posters came out where she is now front and center in the poster. And when the merchandise is starting to trickle out now... And where they have, like, only one version of some characters, they have, like, five versions of her.
Cool.
And, yeah, so they're
I'm excited.
They're banking on her. But I'm trying to level out my excitement because Harley Quinn merchandise is some of the most profit-gaining merchandise out of all of Batman. So this is nothing really new. Like, most people don't really know that.
Yeah, they know that people are going to buy that.
Yeah, people Maybe. Love Harley Quinn merchandise. People who don't even know who Harley Quinn is buy Harley Quinn merchandise.
Makes me sad.
I know, right? but yeah, so Batman solo film, you and I are both in agreement where we want more of a detective story. Mm-hmm. We want Gotham to be its own character. And if I could add something to it, I would love to have Batman be a detective solving a serial murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Like finding a serial murderer like Zaz or Calendar Man.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that.
Something a little bit, you know, not just your typical like, oh, we're now doing another Joker or we're right. doing, yeah. Something,
another Penguin.
Something a little
like
more Batman focused, but an unknown that we can kind of focus on in that way. I think that would be great. And maybe working with, your the police and everything mm-hmm. like that. That would be cool.
Working Gordon, with Commissioner yeah. Gordon and everything mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, yeah. absolutely. Speaking of John Mills, again, I was listening to Words with Nerds, a show that he hosts with Craig Sorrell, and it's a great show. Everybody should listen to it. It's fantastic. They have great nerd rants, and the last episode had a perfect nerd rant about James Bond and so many things about that and Captain America, so everybody should listen to it. But one thing that John brought up is that he's a big fan of Daredevil, the TV show. I'm not.
Okay.
But one thing that he said that really intrigued me is that he really wishes that they would come out with a Batman TV show, not like Gotham where Batman's a kid, but like a real Batman TV show, like on something like on Netflix, where they can explore a villain for an entire season. And he actually brought up Batman, pursuing Zaz, somebody like that, pursuing a serial okay. murderer and over the course of an entire season. And like he was talking about separate continuities where we're smart enough to realize that there's a movie Batman, there can be a TV Batman and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about that, about bringing Batman back to TV and creating a serial arc?
I'd be okay if it was like on a Netflix venue, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd be okay if it was on like a network TV, because network TV has failed me time and time again recently. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything kind of gets cheaper.
Yeah.
Not only monetarily, but just the storylines get cheaper and just mm-hmm. not as flushed out.
And the writing isn't as bold.
Yeah. And I don't know. The acting isn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be open to it, but I think I'd be pretty skeptical.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea probably. I feel like I would like the idea more than I would actually like the execution. It's kind of like Gotham. Like, I like the idea of Gotham, but I don't like Gotham.
No. And we tried a couple episodes. Yeah. And we just could not come back to it. Yeah. People keep saying that season 2 is better, but I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but people say that to us all the time, and then we try, and then they fail us.
So. Yeah, I just don't like DC TV. The only way that I would enjoy a Batman TV show like John is describing is if it was completely separate from the CW and
yeah, it Fox cannot come like from no. there. Otherwise, yeah.
I do not want those those creative forces do great at what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Those shows are fantastic for the people who like them. I want something completely different. I do not want someone in that. I do not want a Batman in that universe.
I would rather have less and more, a higher budget, and everything like that. Than, you know, like an episode every week type of deal.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think, those are the three things that I would really like to see from the next solo film. So Detective, absolutely. Gotham, and a kind of a smaller character, like not a Joker, not a Penguin, not a Two-Face.
I agree.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, we talked about that a whole lot longer than I thought we were going to.
I know. Yeah.
So we should probably get on to our topic. We had another news item, but we can save that for later. Yeah. Okay. Or do you want to talk about it now? We could talk about it.
It's up to you.
All right. Well, okay. We'll talk about it. So last week, news came out that they were introducing a new age of Star Wars prop replicas. And someone pointed out to me that they're not really replicas. They're more like recreations, because for the first time in history, the prop company who actually made the Star Wars props for The Force Awakens that you actually see in the movie are making these recreations.
It's so cool.
And when they had a behind the scenes video of what it looked like or how they made it. And they're using 3D printers and laser technology and making it just as screen accurate as humanly possible. And they had so many great things. But the thing is, they're in the thousands of dollars.
Of course they are.
Yeah, so they had the, if memory serves, they had the melted Vader helmet.
Okay, that's cool.
Which they only made 500 of those.
Oh my gosh.
Or something like that. They have Poe's X-Wing helmet.
Okay.
They have Kylo Ren's lightsaber hilt. They have Rey's lightsaber hilt, which is Luke's lightsaber hilt. They have Rey's staff. And they had Finn's helmet with the blood handprint.
Oh, cool.
And I'm blanking on any. I know that there's more, but I'm blanking on the rest of them. But yeah, like I think Vader's helmet was $3,500.
Well, that's, I mean, okay. I don't think it's like that outrageous for what you're doing, you know, like with the 3D printer and it, you know, complete replica and everything like that.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, I would never spend that much money on a prop. But when you look at the work that goes in behind it and you see all these people like hand painting and hand brushing and everything like that, you're like, oh, yeah, totally. They could have charged three times that.
Well, I would want Rey's staff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You would want Rey's staff?
Or the helmet that she puts on while she's eating her dinner.
I can get you an old X-Wing helmet. I would want the melted Vader helmet.
You would?
Either that or a close second would be the Skywalker family lightsaber.
Oh, lightsaber.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool. No, I want the staff.
You want the staff? It looks really cool. I need to show you this video. It's a lot of fun. People should look it up. Just Google Star Wars replica behind the scenes and it'll pop up. It's in recent news. So we've picked what we would want from The Force Awakens. If, say another movie company started developing these props, do you have any idea what you would want? Like, what kind of prop you would want from a movie?
From any movie?
Yeah, any movie.
Oh, my gosh. It's a very weighty question.
I know. You could say, like, the chair that Marlon Brando sat in for Godfather, you know, or you could say a still suit from Dune. I don't know.
Oh, I see. You thought about this more. you didn't give you time to prepare. That's hard. I think I'm going to keep it Star Wars, and I would probably say I would want Leia's gun.
Leia's gun.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's on, like, Leia's gun is on the cover art of Nerd Nuptial.
That's right.
That's really funny that you bring that up, because I was actually...
Because her gun's awesome, and it's Leia's gun.
Which, I think that's really funny that you bring that up, because now all I can think about is Batman's grappling gun. Like, that's all I can think about right now. And that's on the cover. That's on our cover art, too.
Well, there you go.
I would absolutely pick something from Batman. So, that's I think it's his grappling gun. Yeah.
All right. Well done.
Well, there
that
you
was
go.
A lot
that was
easier
easy.
Than I thought.
That was way easier than I thought it was going to be. Man.
And our cover art is just apparently better than we even thought.
Ooh. Oh, I know. What? I know.
Uh-oh.
I would want Batman's busted cowl.
Oh, and the Bane one?
From The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I would want the broken shard that he drops.
That's cool.
That Bane drops in the water.
That's very cool.
Mm, that would be cool. I know you can buy a replica of it, but it's like tiny. You know, like it's not life size.
Oh, okay.
I would want a 100% photorealistic version
gotcha.
Of it. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, we should probably move on to our topic.
We probably should.
Because we're 30 minutes into the show and we haven't...
It's all right.
Yeah, whatever, you know. But what we're talking about is guilty pleasures. Okay,
yes.
So guilty pleasures. And we described what we thought a guilty pleasure was. And
I don't know if all of these qualify, but we'll go with it.
We'll go see. With it. Yeah, we have an entire stack of movies that we're looking at. And
They're ones that we own. So I think that that's something, too, is that
these
are from our library.
What's funny, folks, is what you probably don't understand or what you guys don't know is that whenever we make these lists, we walk into our office and just stand in front of our movie library and just start picking things out. We pull it out.
Yeah.
And then make a literal stack and then we stare at it and then talk to you guys through our microphone. So right off the top of the list, I see National Treasure. Now, a lot of people like this movie.
I think it's fun.
That's the thing, is that, like, I think this one is less of a guilty pleasure, more of just, like, admitting that you like a fun popcorn movie.
Yeah, and, I mean, is the plot kind of silly and, I mean, completely...
Completely inaccurate. Nothing, nothing, that's the thing, is that, like, nothing in this movie is accurate.
No.
Not even close. And
no.
yet, you know, like, it kind of surged people to kind of look, like, I think we're part of this History Channel... generation that loves the mystery behind history.
Yeah.
And this is definitely praise on that. And I think it's fun. I think it's total popcorn. And so I think this is less guilty pleasure, more just mainstream
silliness.
Movie.
Yeah.
Silliness. Mainstream silliness.
And I think they made like a bunch of them.
Well, they only made two.
They made two.
And the first one's way better than the second one, but the second one's not actually bad. And I'm still waiting for the third one.
It'll happen. Maybe. Depends if Nick Cage needs some more money. So.
Oh, he does. He does bad.
I know. I've seen some of his recent trailers. And
I'm sure he is aching for National Treasure 3 right now. Oh, man.
He's probably listening to this episode being like, please.
Please. Somebody give me an
idea. He's that bad off.
He ran into like tax problems or something.
Oh no!
Like he lost. No, it wasn't. He spent his money. He just spent it. Like he they listed some of the stuff that he bought, and it is ridiculous. Like it's what a homeless person would say they would do if they won the lottery. Like that's the kind of stuff that he bought.
Oh no!
And it was just he was up to his eyeballs in debt, and so he just kept. Working.
Oh my gosh.
Like every script that fell on his desk, he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever. Fine. You're going to feed me too? Okay, great. You know,
oh,
poor Nick Cage.
Poor Nick Cage.
Academy Award winning Nick Cage.
I was going to say. Oh.
Now, the next one on the list, that's all you, baby.
Yeah. Okay. So I have some like girly back in the day movies that I was obsessed with in here that are not good movies. So that's why I say they're girly pleasure movies. A Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore.
I have never seen
it. Who is not an actress, in my opinion.
She was a singer, right?
Yes. This is the classic movie where she's dying and, you know, she's just got to live life to the fullest. And she's an actress, so I totally, like, related to it. And I would, like, practice the song that she sings. And it's not a good movie. It's really not a good movie.
I've never seen this movie, but I kind of want
really
to.
It's really sad. Oh, it would be a really good movie to watch when we're super tired. We don't drink, so this would be a good movie to watch either drunk or super tired. For our case, it would be super tired. But yeah, it is really, yeah.
This is
great,
like,
stereotypes in it.
This is the prelude to a Fault in Our Stars or whatever.
Oh, yeah, totally. The original. The original right there.
When that movie came out, like, all of a sudden, like, all these other dying girl movies came out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Like, An Affair to Remember, it, like, all of those, I mean, before it. But, yes, like, those dying, yes. Those.
It started to come. Well, yeah. There's trends to everything, yeah. And nothing is new.
It's true.
But I
like, remember, they get married and they're, like, 16 because she's dying and stuff.
They got married?
Yeah, they get married in it. It's really sad. I'm laughing, but it's really sad. Sound like a terrible person. Oh, well.
All right. On this next one, Red Dawn.
That's a you.
That is all me. Red Dawn. The original, folks. The original.
All right.
Okay. The one with Crazy Swayze, Charlie Sheen, Jennifer Grey, all of that. All of those people. I love this movie. Like, Wolverines! You know, I am begging to get you to watch this movie, and you still won't watch this movie with me. It's, you know, like, the Russians invade the U.S., you know, like, from the West Coast onward. How cool.
And teenagers are fighting them?
And teenagers are the freedom fighters. Like, they're all wearing their Letterman jackets. And, like, I think Swayze comes up and, you know, like, he's shooting down some Soviets, and he's like, we're fighting because we live here. Yeah, just,
oh my gosh.
It is so overdramatic. It's so over the top. And my uncle Rick, he is the one who got me introduced to this movie. And he's like, and he is kind of like my gateway to 80s movies when I was too young to remember them. He's just like, Tristan, you gotta watch this movie, man. You gotta watch Red Dawn. And I was just, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time I was watching this movie.
So funny. That's awesome. The next one is just a stupid movie.
Stuck on You.
Yeah.
Yes. This is.
I think it's funny too.
I think it's freaking hysterical. I think Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear play conjoined twins.
I mean, right there.
The movie practically writes itself.
And they work at a burger place.
They work in fast food. And like, they can run super fast because they have
really
four
well.
Legs.
I was going to say, and they do it really well.
Yeah, they're great at their job.
Yeah, they are.
It is. It's not our typical humor movie because it has very slapstick humor, sometimes vulgar humor.
Yeah.
And it's by the same guys who made There's Something About Mary, which I don't like. I usually don't like this type of humor. But
that awkward, like too awkward humor where it's like vulgar, awkward, yeah.
But there's just something about this movie.
That movie's really funny.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch it right now.
I know.
The next one is some people are going to find out.
Uh-oh.
I have a secret shame.
Uh-oh. This is really your guilty pleasure right here.
Well, this one I can justify, but not the next one. Actually, I'll give the next two a rapid. No, I'm not going to give it rapid fire because you got to have a build up.
Yep.
So the next one is The Rock. Okay. All right. It's a Michael Bay film.
Yes.
Okay, but it's an older Michael Bay film. Before all the nonsense.
Yes.
And it's starring Nick Cage and Sean Connery.
Okay, Nick Cage is on this list. So I don't
know. You should be surprised that not a lot of Keanu Reeves is on this list, but not as much as he could have been. But yeah, Nick Cage is on this list. Come on, it's a Sean Connery movie. You know, like to me, it's not so much a Michael Bay film as it is a Nick Cage and Sean Connery film. I'm splitting hairs, but. I think this is a good movie. I think this is a solid action film. Like this is before Michael Bay lost his mind and became obsessed with himself. Now the next film.
I like this one too, and it's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Yeah, I'm so glad. Okay, so I'm gonna have this shame with you. Like,
yeah, this one's embarrassing.
This is embarrassing, but the next one is another Michael Bay film. It is Pearl Harbor,
which again. Is a movie that is way too long.
Way too long. Way too overbloated.
Yes.
And the actual battle in real life lasted something like 15 minutes. And in here, it's like an hour.
And the storyline is so crazy, over the top, and dramatic. Yeah. It's just, it's really, if you dissect it too hard, then it's not fun anymore.
I know. And like these, the, you know, he falls in love with this nurse overnight, and then she feels some sort of weird loyalty to him.
Yes. And then like, he is supposed to be dead, right? And then
yeah.
she falls in love with the other, the best friend. And then they have a baby, right?
Yeah. Like, and it's just so, and at the, like, and at the end, like, this is the type of movie that it is, okay? They're in the jungle, all right? They crash land, and his friend dies. And they have to traverse miles and miles of land before they actually get away from the enemy. And the enemy is on their heels. Like, we see them running towards them. And then we jump forward to them actually coming home, and they get off the plane with a coffin. So you're trying to tell me that they carried their friend's body across miles of terrain while the enemy was on their heels.
It's Michael Bay. It's he Michael made it Bay. Happen. It's cool.
So yeah, I say, I'm making fun of the movie, but the thing is, I will watch this.
Like, oh yeah.
I will put it in and go, oh, let's yeah. watch some Pearl Harbor. I feel so ashamed.
It's true, because the acting really isn't that great either. It really isn't.
No, it's oh no, it's not. It's not over good the top. At all. It's beyond even operatic.
It's like really bad.
So overblown.
Yeah, but
yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my.
Anyway, moving on. So the next one on the list. This one's kind of me. This is where Keanu Reeves.
It too.
Yeah. Well, you like the first one.
Yeah.
You like the rest of the country.
That's true. You're right. You're
you
right.
like the first. Nothing. There is no such guilty pleasure with the first one, but the second and third one. Okay. So here's the deal. We're talking about the Matrix trilogy. I like the Matrix trilogy.
I like the first one.
My name is Tristan Riddell, and I like the Matrix trilogy. The first one is amazing. It's transcendent. Okay. It is on another level. This elevated sci-fi action to a level that we had not seen before. And it's crazy great. Then the next two came out, and they filmed them back to back. They released them, I think, one year after the other. And it just, they're nowhere near as good as the first one. Some would say that they're cheap knockoffs of the first one. And I can't really argue against that. But damn it, I'm entertained when I watch them.
Is this the one with the sweaty dance party?
Yes, yes, it's the one with the sweaty dance party. Yes.
That's the only thing I remember from that movie.
Is where the dude like is all sweaty and yes, like the dude with the dreads, and he just throws his head yes, back and gets everybody else wet.
It's disgusting. I'm like, oh, when I watch that scene.
All these see-through mesh t-shirts on men yes, and women where you
yes,
see all
they're
these
all like dancing.
Tons of nipples.
Yes.
Like we saw 37 nipples.
That's right. You counted.
Yes. I saw that scene a lot.
I'm sure you did.
And it went on forever.
It did.
That's the thing.
It was like an uncomfortably long, like almost orgy.
Almost
dance,
orgy. I think,
sweaty dance party.
I think people refer to it as kind of like an orgy just because they intercut a sex scene between
That's
it.
That's right. That's right. So you're like, what's happening to me?
Like, so much flesh and nipples. But yeah, like I think in Matrix Reloaded, you have all these set pieces and all these scenes that are just way too long. You're like, great premise, great idea, but everything is just too long and too much. But then I think people hated Reloaded so much that they weren't able to really appreciate Revolution. I can't remember if it's plural or not. But I like that one a whole lot more than Reloaded. I feel like Reloaded is just mindless action that you can just turn your brain off. But Revolutions, I enjoyed. I like the story. I like when they're outside of the Matrix. I like when they're inside the Matrix. I love
you. Keanu love Reeves. The Matrix.
I do. It's I love cool. the Matrix. I love these movies. So anyway, moving on.
All right. Well, I kind of debate whether this one's actually a guilty pleasure or not, because a lot of people do love this film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Mean Girls, and I love Mean Girls because it's hilarious, and it's kind of stupid and goofy and like mm-hmm. that typical like teenage movie, but there's something like special to me, I don't know, about Mean Girls that just sets it a little bit apart from the rest of like the teen movies.
Yeah. Well, Tina Fey.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That Tina separates Fey, it right? you know, from your average teen movie.
Yeah. So that one I kind of debate whether it actually is a guilty pleasure or not, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you mentioned that to me, and I was just like,
can I put this on list?
It has such a huge following that I don't know if you can call it a guilty pleasure.
It
but
does.
I think you love it to a degree that you're not really telling people.
That's true.
So
I don't.
That's why you consider it a guilty pleasure.
Probably.
Because if people knew how much you loved it, they would be like, calm down.
And it also is based on like the area that I grew up as a teenager in. Mm-hmm. Like they even mentioned like Old Orchard Mall and.
It looks nothing like Old Orchard Mall.
Walker Brothers Pancake House, and we go to Walker Brothers all the time.
I forgot that they mentioned Walker
Brothers.
Yeah, they
do. She wins at the end, like, gift certificates to Walker Brothers Pancake House.
That's awesome. I've forgotten that.
We go there all the time.
We try to go there every Sunday if we can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next one on the list is All Me, and this was a movie that I loved as a kid, and it's called Bedazzled. Some of you might not remember that movie. It's a Brendan Fraser movie when Brendan Fraser was still a thing. And yes, I am pronouncing it correctly. That is how you pronounce his last name, is Fraser, not Fraser, Fraser. And Elizabeth Hurley plays the devil.
Is she a sexy devil?
Of course she's a sexy devil. It's Elizabeth Hurley. Elizabeth Hurley could play a nun or a librarian and she would be a sex... I don't know where those two things are... kind of ubiquitous with sexy fantasies. So a DMV worker, there we go. She could play a sexy DMV worker. Anyway, Elizabeth Hurley being okay. Elizabeth Hurley and awesome. And where I think he gets 7 wishes. Like he's this low-level IT nerd and nobody likes him and he doesn't have any friends and you feel sorry for him. And then the devil comes along and he signs a contract and says, okay, I want 7 wishes. And of course, it's the whole genie syndrome where every single wish that he makes, you know, he has to unwish it or like revoke it because, you know, like she makes it crazy, makes it hell and takes him too literally, you know, and everything okay. like that. And this is not a good movie. Like this is your very run-of-the-mill comedy. But for some reason, I just latched onto this as a young man. And of course, Elizabeth Hurley helped, sadly. But yeah, this is one of those movies where I recognize it's not a good film, but I love it. And I think people should watch it.
The next one is mine. And it is not well acted at all. But I love this movie. It's called Ever After. And it's with Drew Barrymore. And mm-hmm. she plays Cinderella. But it's like the... real story of Cinderella. Mm-hmm.
The story behind
that's
Cinderella.
That's right. Like, if Cinderella was, like, an actual thing, but without the magic.
Yeah.
And
the talking mice.
That's right. But it is not a good movie at all, but I love it so much. And
this is one of the first movies we watched together when we started
dating. Yes. I think it's just, it's totally over the top. Like, her stepsisters are, like, ridiculously over-the-top mean to her. And is Angelica Houston in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's pretty awesome as the stepmother.
Yeah, that's pretty much, like, the only... Yeah, naturally, that's the best acted part.
Of course.
Is Angelica Houston. But Drew Barrymore should never be in a period piece.
No, she is. And I think she kind of, like, says certain words in, like... in character, and other ones you're like, you're Drew Barrymore.
And she puts on this accent.
It's like a weird accent.
But nobody else has that accent. It's kind of like Carrie Fisher in the first Star Wars where you're like, what are you doing with your accent?
Yeah.
No one else is talking like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. And I think even like certain stepmother has like an accent, but the stepsisters don't. It's
right,
like...
yeah, it's all over the place. We're like, are we in Britain? Are we in France?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
But it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love it. And it holds a special place in my heart because it's a good movie.
I remember the trailer for
yes.
this. This was a really good trailer.
Just breathe.
Yeah, yeah. Like she's wearing wings for no reason. Well, it's a costume party.
Yeah, she's going to the ball.
And then like the camera just like tracks real close to her face and then the music swells and he goes, just breathe.
It was that really, I love that song.
Loreena McKennitt,
yes!
The Mummer's Dance.
Yes!
Yes! I know that song.
Yes!
I bought Loreena McKennitt's album just for that song.
I would listen to through the credits just to hear it like over and over again. And I would like rewind it.
We have it on vinyl.
That's right, me too.
We picked it up on vinyl just for that because of this movie and because of that trailer. Not just because of the movie, because of the trailer.
Exactly,
because
the trailer had it in there.
Oh, man. So great.
Oh, awesome.
All right. Well, we have one more and then a franchise.
That we, yes.
So the next really one special. Is Alexander. And this is the story of Alexander the Great, and this is by Oliver Stone. This movie was not liked by critics. It did not make that much money. But yet, 5 versions of this film exist. Oliver Stone will not stop editing and re-editing this film.
He's just like hoping someone will like it more each edition.
I know. I think it has the same amount of editions as Blade Runner. It's just insane. And the thing is that this is not a good movie.
No, it's not.
And I'm able to say that. It's not a good movie.
It's not.
But I am just drawn to it.
Like, why?
I don't know.
You don't know? Is it just like the time period? Is it him? Is it Alexander? Is it? Because I don't even think he does a good job as Alexander.
And Angelina Jolie is in it, and she has this
yes.
another weird accent.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, where is that coming from? No, it's just, I honestly can't tell you. I honestly can't. I mean, it has so many. It has Jared Leto, or Leto, whatever. It's got Colin Farrell as Alexander. It's got Val Kilmer as his dad. Angelina Jolie as his mom.
I mean, it's Anthony a good Hopkins cast. As his.
Yeah, it's a great cast. It's a great cast. And but it's so long. It's like a
so
4-hour
long.
Movie. And I don't know what it is. I see it as a filmmaking study. Like I look at it from an outsider perspective.
Why is this not better? Is that what you're
Yeah,
saying?
I look at it, I'm just like, why do I like this film? Why is this not better? All the pieces are there, but why is it not better?
Yeah.
And I just you know that I love historical pieces, and I love that time period of Macedonia and Greek, mm-hmm. and I love that stuff, and I love how unabashed they were with his bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's who he was, and mm-hmm. so it was exciting to see that them not shy away from that,
right?
And just from a character study, and also I guess because I love the idea of Alexander the Great and everything that he accomplished at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know.
You don't know why.
I don't know, man. I don't know why I just called you man, but I just I don't know. I want to watch it right now. Like that's the thing. I'm talking about it.
Yeah,
and I'm just like
no,
I want to watch
do
it.
That. No.
Now that you're off from school, like I have no time to watch my guilty pleasure movies by myself.
You mean the movies I won't watch with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't have 4 hours of my life to waste right now.
I'll just take some pills like some West Coast turnarounds and stay up all night and watch it while you're sleeping.
All right. Well, if that's what it takes.
All right. Moving on to our final piece.
Yeah.
The pièce de I can't even say it right. How do you say that?
Pièce de résistance.
Yeah. Well, geez, there you go. Like I just made a fool of myself because I couldn't pronounce it, and then you say
you can't
it
roll your eyes either.
Why did you bring that up? Why did the listeners need to know that?
Because you're just jealous of everyone who can roll their R's.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll never be able to speak Spanish. I've made my peace with it. I can't say rojo, you know, like I can't.
Rojo.
Stop it! Anyway, moving on. We have...
Our last pick
our
is...
Our last pick is Taken!
Oh my gosh, we love Taken so much.
These are like, not just Taken... But Taken 2
and
Taken 3. These movies belong in the Guggenheim, okay? These movies are amazing.
I love these movies. We have so much fun watching them. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
When we watch them, we watch all 3 in a row.
Yes, because it's
amazing. That's the way it needs to be.
Yes, and we laugh through them. We cry a little bit. We just
shake our heads at them trying to pass his daughter at 16.
Oh my gosh.
And she looks like she's 32.
That's one of the best parts of the whole thing.
And she just keeps getting kidnapped. But like, it's just the whole idea of it is that.
No. She only gets kidnapped in the first one.
Excuse me. Yeah. But okay. So.
You can't even talk about it.
No, I can't even talk about it. Liam Neeson's daughter is kidnapped while she's in France.
And she lied about it.
And she lies about the circumstances that brought her to France. And so he goes on his own He flies to France on his own. He's
but he has a special set of skills.
He does have a special set of skills. He doesn't have a lot of money.
No, he doesn't.
He does have a special set of skills. And so, like, instead of involving the police and calling any kind of authority, he goes rogue on his own and tears up Paris.
And he, like, exposes the... No, he doesn't expose them, but he, like, you know, goes through the whole sex trade of France.
Yeah, like, he could expose the sex trade and chooses not to. He can
just
help
his daughter.
All those girls... Yep. But he chooses not to because he's like, oh, sweetie, I'm not here for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty much.
And then he moves on. I know we shouldn't be laughing at the sex
trade.
No,
it's not
because
funny.
That's not what we're laughing
at. But he's a determined man.
What we're laughing at is that the sex trade is such a big deal and such a serious topic and something that is plaguing the world and including this country. And then they throw it in the movie. And they just make it a set piece. Like
it is. It's not even like, I mean, at the end, I was just thinking, what about all those girls?
That's all that I was thinking. Yeah,
right?
At the end of the movie, I was thinking, I was like, okay, so your daughter's home safe. What about the other girls that you
like,
could have saved?
Hundreds of girls like that you encountered on your journey. Yep. Yep.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yep.
Anyway.
The next one's not quite as...
You know, I don't even remember the plot. Wait, oh,
no.
The second one is they're on vacation.
Yes, they're on vacation.
They're in like Istanbul.
Yeah,
is that right? Yeah, they're like the ex-wife, the dad,
who's Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen.
Yeah. You have a thing for Famke.
I do have a thing for Famke Janssen because I'm a red-blooded straight American male. That's why. but yeah, so they're on vacation with their daughter. And then Famke Janssen and Liam Neeson get kidnapped. And so it's a role reversal where the daughter has to help out.
She's got to like figure it out.
Yeah. And just, oh, come on, guys. I mean, this movie, again, it writes itself. And like there's one scene where she sets off live grenades.
Yes.
In the city just so Liam Neeson can figure out where
she
is in the city using echolocation.
It's amazing.
If that doesn't make you want to watch the film,
say,
I don't know what will.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
And then you have the third one, where sadly, Famke Janssen leaves us.
I know.
Because, spoiler alert, she dies and somebody frames Liam Neeson for her murder.
Yes.
But obviously a man with his special set of skills would never do that. And so it's all about him trying to vindicate himself.
That's right. And I don't want to give anything away because... These are really good movies, but it has to do with the first movie.
Yes, like
there's a connection there.
Yeah, of course, because there has to be a connection.
Of course.
Where Liam Neeson killed the son of some mob boss.
Yeah,
and so the mob boss came back to enact revenge or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These movies are fantastic, guys. If you have not watched them, watch all three in a row. You
do not take them seriously.
Yeah, like this is not great cinema. Okay?
No,
this is not. This is not there. Citizen Kane. This is, you know, this is not Nolan. No, this is.
Well, we found out the third one was coming out. We were just so excited. We were like, we're buying it right now.
Yeah. Like, we pre-ordered Taken 3. No one pre-ordered Taken 3.
No one pre-ordered. It's so true.
I'm surprised Amazon just didn't give it to us for free. Because they're
right.
Like,
they're
you're
like,
the only
really?
One who wanted
you
this.
You want this? What? Oh, no. I think that one probably is our biggest guilty pleasure because we watch it the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. That's our list. That is
That's
our guilty
right.
pleasure list. And I really want to know what your guys' guilty pleasure is. Please email us at contact@thenerdparty.com or you can find me on Twitter @TheInsaneRobin. Please let me know so that you can let the girl know what your guilty pleasure is. Like, was it on this list? Did we mention one of yours? Are you going to come out as a Michael Bay fan, even though you bash it in front of your friends to show them that you actually have standards?
That's right.
Like I do? Or, you know, like, are you not going to admit it? Or, you know, either way, let us know. Also, one other thing that you should know is that because you are a listener, you, a listener, are special to us. And because you are special to us, we are giving you a great deal. If you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and enter in code nerdparty, again, that's lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in the code nerdparty, you will get money off of a Loot Crate subscription. It's this fantastic geek box where you will get, I think you'll get almost double the value of the merchandise that's actually in the box. It's a subscription service. You get a box every single month, and every box has a theme, like a Star Wars theme, or I think this month is a dystopian theme.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So, like, everything you get in this box is dystopian related. So you'll get, like, Matrix stuff, Fallout, you know, things like that. Like, you'll get Pop Funkos, T-shirts, buttons, pins, and you'll get it at a discounted price. And if you use our code and our link, you'll get money off of that monthly subscription. And you have until the 19th of every single month to figure out if you want that box. Like, if you want that theme, you can sign up and get it. Everyone should try it out. It's called lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Enter in the code nerdparty. You have nothing to lose. I am super excited that we are partners with Loot Crate. All right. Well,
I have one thing to say to you.
Oh, what's that?
I love you.
I know.